In this year podcast, we're going to look at developments in a tiny fee you pay once a month, plus a separate story about the biggest fee you might pay in a month. The little one is on your phone bill. The big one is the mortgage. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. But first, there is the baseball season, there is barbecue season, and coming up on closing day, the latest corporate profits and losses season, the earnings season. Joining us in high fidelity from Chicago is Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Holdings Group. Morning, Susan.
Good morning.
The profit and loss season, the quarterly results, pretty much coming to an end. We've seen most companies out now. Broad brush, I mean, where did we end up?
Well, I think we had a very solid earnings season. We're in the last week for earnings reports. Companies have come out and told us how they've done in the second quarter. And all in all, I think it's been positive for the signals on the economy. CEOs have been here. They've told us about their businesses. By and large, it's been a very solid, steady performance. Companies are operating profitably. There's still demand. Sales are growing modestly. That underpinning of support for the economy is still strong. So it's good when we see companies earning money. It's good when we see CEOs talking with confidence. And I think by and large, that was the tone we got from this earnings season.
All right. And in a few minutes, we'll get a JOLTS, the Labor Department's JOLTS report, Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. You're watching that, right?
Yes, definitely. Our next data point is JOLTS. It comes out this morning. We'll both be watching. And JOLTS is important because it talks about job openings. That really means when people quit their jobs. People quit their jobs when they feel confident that they can get another job. And so that's a very good sign. We like seeing that JOLTS number and tracking it because it can give us information about how people are feeling and how confident they're feeling about the job market.
Traveling in Chicago today, Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Holdings Group. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just checked my phone bill. Government taxes and fees, $13.81 last month. Surcharges, a little over $10. But when I got all forensic on the thing, I was able to see that I paid 90 cents last month for my state's 911 emergency response services. Less than a buck, a small price to pay, I think, if I ever need to call for help. We require phone companies to collect these fees, but now a series of lawsuits claim the phone giants haven't been paying all that money back out to the 911 systems, resulting in an estimated $600 million shortfall for emergency call center funding. Sally Herships has the story.
The central question in this case, what exactly counts as a phone line nowadays?
How do we differentiate a phone line sitting on somebody's desk? And then you say, well, what about a phone number that works through a PC or a laptop?
Telecom industry expert Derek Curtin says current regulations were written before cloud services offering hundreds of virtual phone lines existed. Those companies are finding wiggle room in the law, and traditional carriers like AT&T and Verizon have to keep up. Josh Wolson is a lawyer representing multiple lawsuits against big telecom.
The phone company's approach to this has been to say, well, if there's one pipe that comes into your office place, and that pipe carries 23 separate phone lines, you only have to pay one 911 fee.
The phone companies say they're in compliance with the law. But Derek Curtin says some 911 tax dollars aren't used to fund call centers at all. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
A key piece of information when you buy a house is whether it's cheap enough to qualify for lower, cheaper, federally subsidized mortgage rates or whether it is a jumbo. If it's a jumbo mortgage, then the borrower typically pays higher interest, but the loan may be easier to get. The jumbo, non-jumbo line is different depending on where you live. And it turns out banks love jumbos, but homebuyers lower down the income ladder could be losing out. From the Marketplace Bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
You can hear the sound of construction in many of the hottest real estate markets these days. Houses and condos going up in the $500,000-plus range. Not just builders, but banks like this high end of the market, too. It may be counterintuitive, but jumbo mortgages, $417,000 or higher, are more desirable for banks to have on their balance sheets than lower-value loans, explains Chris Mayer at Columbia Business School.
These are very super safe loans to borrowers who have significant down payments and are highly qualified.
Plus, banks mostly keep these jumbo loans on their books as long-term assets, meaning less risk and more profit. A jumbo's good for the borrower, too, and typically that's a pretty affluent borrower, says Guy Sakala at Inside Mortgage Finance.
Assuming you've got decent credit, it's easier and more cost-effective to get a jumbo mortgage now than it was leading up to the financial crisis.
The country's biggest banks have significantly increased their share of jumbo loans in recent years, according to Compliance Tech, a fair lending software firm based in McLean, Virginia. And Managing Director Maurice Jourdain-Earle says that's leaving would-be homeowners of color behind.
It's an adverse effect, simply because the access to credit issue is alive and well.
According to Jourdain-Earle, the share of black jumbo mortgage borrowers has declined from more than 6% in 2006 to just over 1.5% in 2014. It's down for Hispanics, too.
If there's not as much capital available to make loans to the loan amount and type that people of color and people with lower assets, if those loan types are less available, then there's a squeeze.
And that, he says, pushes them into government-backed loans that tend to be more costly for the borrower. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And stock in the solar power company SunPower was down about 30% in early trading today. The company is laying off 1,200 people, blaming in part the extension of a federal investment tax credit, which meant people were not rushing to buy solar panels to get the credit before it expired, because it didn't expire, you see. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.